credit union. Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. Good to have you with us here on the Mark Steiner Show and your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. Before we begin our conversation with Todd Oppenheim, who is seeking to become a judge in the circuit court, I want to remind you once again to join us a week from today, Wednesday, January the 13th at 7 a.m. for the 13th Annual Annapolis Summit at the Governorate Calver House on the opening day of the state legislature in Annapolis. It's your chance to have your questions answered when we talk with Governor Larry Hogan, Senate President Mike Miller, House Speaker Michael Bush, and special guest Senator Barbara Mikulski to reflect on her years in office. All that coming up. Save your seat at thedailyrecord.com/Annapolis-summit, excuse me. Or save your seat by contacting Morgan Cook at 443-524-8181. Morgan.Cook@thedailyrecord.com. The Annapolis Summit is sponsored by The Daily Record, the Maryland State Education Association, Stevenson University, Alexander and Cleaver, VPC, the Johns Hopkins Center for a Livable Future, and WEAA. Be part of the Annapolis Summit, 443-524-8181. We're now here with Todd Oppenheim, who is a felony trial attorney in the Office of the Public Defender, has a decade of experience representing indigent clients before the District Court and the Circuit Court of Baltimore. He's a candidate for judge for the Baltimore City Circuit Court, which is not a usual occurrence. As we talked to him about earlier, the last time that happened was Paige Croydon ran, and the circuit judges would not come on to debate because they don't think they should be debating while they're sitting on the bench. But Todd is in the studio. Welcome, Todd. Good to have you with us.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. And join us at 410-319-8888 for your questions with Todd Oppenheim. Write to us here at talk@steinershow.org. Tweet us at Mark Steiner, but do call in 410-319-8888. So, Todd, so you're a public defender. You've been on the show before as a public defender.
Yes.
So why are you running for judge?
I am running because black people and poor people in Baltimore are getting screwed by the justice system. I want to bring equal justice to the bench for everyone, regardless of race or class. Let's be honest, Mark, if you're connected, if you have money, and I'm not just talking about indigent people, you get an advantage in the system. Police officers who are charged with misconduct, former bishops who kill people, they get an advantage in the system. If you're not one of them, you get in line. You take a number. You roll the dice. Rulings from our courts can cause families to be destroyed, jobs are lost. Communities are in distrust of the system, and basically what I'm trying to do is bring a different perspective to the bench.
So folks, you join us at 410-319-8888. We already have one email that came in at talk@steinershow.org, which I will read to you in a moment, 410-319-8888, with questions for Todd Oppenheim. Well, let me read this email because actually it brings up some of the points that other people might have brought up, so I want to, and it's from an anonymous listener. She writes in, why is Mr. Oppenheimer running for judge as opposed to city council or general assembly where they make the laws? The issues he's taking on, he's talking about annoy may be addressed by judges, but the cannot be addressed by judges, but by the legislature. And I guess arguing that what's happening, that the judges really can't change this, that only law can change this to force judges to change.
It's a great point, but I couldn't disagree more. Judges have tremendous discretion. The rulings by each courtroom vary from courtroom to courtroom. Just walk up and down the hall and you'll see different things. We could just walk up and down the list of issues that I want to address. Take, for instance, bail. Bail is completely discretionary. Now, we can talk about ending money bail, but I concede that is a legislative fix. But within the parameters of the system now, judges have total discretion to set the amount of bail that comes before them. There is no rubric. They can set any amount they want, and obviously that has a tremendous impact on someone who can't afford a certain amount. Searches and seizures. Judges rule all the time on what we call suppression motions, on whether people's Fourth Amendment rights to be free from being stopped and searched by the police is valid or not. And the rulings that judges make in the courtroom have a tremendous impact, not only on the case in front of them, but on the police officers that they're ruling on, on citizens that might come in front of those police officers. Let's remember the cases that go in front of judges for hearings are a small fraction of the interactions that occur on a day-to-day basis between police and citizens. There could be tons of illegal stops, harassments, detainments on the street that are never challenged, that are never able to be brought into a courtroom. So a ruling a judge make can set the tone for that individual officer. It can send a message for what's appropriate in the community. And the community is calling out right now for change. If you talk about the war on drugs, there's a huge amount of discretion that a judge has. We can talk about sentencing for those type of cases and prioritizing violent crime over drugs, talking about treatment instead of incarceration. There is no question that the way the drug cases are perpetuated and carried out in the cities are completely disproportionate to suburban areas. You could look at cases that come before courts in the city, and then you look at suburbs, and the same type of actions aren't being dealt with as severely as they are in the city. And that impacts everyone in the city.
So, again, let me read another piece that came in by email. The question was from another listener, from Megan. What has he done to address these issues other than running? That faced the issues of crime and justice in Baltimore. Has he worked with the Baltimore City Council Criminal Justice Coordinating Council, on which his boss sits?
No, I'm not affiliated with anyone, and that's why my perspective is completely unpartisan, unbiased, and kind of takes into account everything. I've been a victim of crime myself, but I've also been a public defender for my entire career, so I've seen both sides of the issue. The first part of the question was what sort of experience I have. Well, I work in these courts every day. I'm in front of these judges. I'm the one that private attorneys come to ask about the system, to see what a judge's tendencies are, to ask me to stand in for them, to handle matters for them. And the same goes for my colleagues that are a part of the public defender's office. We are the backbone of the system, and we see the worst of it. There's moments that you know, we succeed and judges work with us. You know, I'm not here to say that every single judge is a problem. But I've had over 75 jury trials. I have more experience in court than our prosecutor, our state's attorney for the city. I've been an attorney longer than the judge that's conducting the Freddie Gray trial has been a judge. So my experience speaks for itself. You know, talk to any counterpart that I've had. They may not agree with my positions. They might not like, my passion in the courtroom. But they'll be the first one to tell you that I work hard and I know what I'm talking about.
So you wrote an op-ed in this morning's Sun, Time to End the War on Drugs. That was in response, as we talked about before we came on the air, of a piece that Joe Cassidy, who's the state's attorney, has been for a number of years of Harford County. He's been on the show a number of times. So, and talk about a bit about why you wrote this piece and what you're saying.
It was a letter to the editor, and I responded to the editorial because I thought it was a bit myopic and short-sighted in that it does not. What I'm trying to confront with my candidacy is the paucity of empathy. I'm kind of borrowing that phrase from Anna Deavere Smith. And so in English, what that means is I'm trying to bring an understanding from experience to the bench, which is completely lacking. So what I talked about in that letter is the assets of basically average people, everyday people that are seized time and again in drug cases. We're talking about money, cars, property, and the net that's cast is so wide in drug cases that it often scoops up addicts, innocent people, kids who have just turned to the drug trade for a quick buck, and their stuff gets tied up with the police department or the authorities through the life of a case and even beyond it depending on the ruling. So for a judge to understand that their ruling goes beyond what's just happening in the courtroom, immediately kind of getting that case off the docket, getting that person on out so they can move on and get to the next case, it impacts people's lives. These people can't go back to work. You know, the editorial argued that we're putting money back in the drug dealers' pockets. Sure, that could be a possibility, But we're also preventing people, if their vehicle's there, from getting to work, from getting a job. If they're legitimate assets, they could lose a business. There's horror stories on the internet. You can see it in the news all the time about people who have been wrongfully arrested and then can't get their property back. All this bill calls for is a threshold of $300 before seizure can be automatic. And the governor is considering a veto of this now.
So, because you oppose it because you think it preys on poor people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But more than that, I just think it's a perspective that a judge has to have as to the collateral consequences of their ruling. All of these issues have to be in the back of their minds.
So are you suggesting that these judges are serving our community badly? I mean, how many judges were running in this race? Nine?
Six.
Six. Six. Sorry. So what are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting that we need to get a different perspective on the bench. They're so removed from what's going on the street. There's an undercurrent kind of rippling through the city right now. The city is almost ready to boil over from the uprising that's happening. And to say that the justice system is not connected to the thoughts and feelings that are going through the city is just narrow-minded. It's inextricably linked to what's going on. The justice system has created a distrust. People don't believe in the courts anymore. You know, you take the ruling that just came out of the Freddie Gray trial to limit jurors' ability to speak about what happened in the court. We should be open. We should be fair. We should have accessibility to the courts. We don't have that. People are scared to go to court. They're afraid to testify because they think that their word is going to carry less weight than that of a police officer because that person has a uniform on. I have to tell my clients all the time, you ought to consider a plea because a judge is not going to take your word for it. And that, I concede, depends on what judge we're in front of. It varies from judge to judge. But from the system that we have, when I run against a six-headed monster that doesn't individualize, doesn't let voters know what their philosophies are, it's hard to tell what they stand for. I'm telling you exactly what I stand for. It's all out there on the internet. I'll answer any question that anybody has.
So, folks, do join us, 410-319-8888, in the time we have left in this half an hour, as we talk with Todd Oppenheim, who's a felony trial attorney with the Office of the Public Defender, who is running for the a candidate for judge in the Baltimore City Circuit Court. Six sitting judges are running. He's running. One of them, if he wins, will lose. 410-319-8888 is the number. We want to hear your thoughts. Rachel's here again at talk@steinershow.org. Appreciate the other emails, but do call in at 410-319-8888. You were going to say what, Todd?
And the other five become my colleagues.
And the other five become your colleagues.
They're very excited about this.
I'm sure they're excited about your running.
But I can say that I've been making them excited for years. My candidacy hasn't pushed them to the limit. My advocacy as a public defender challenged their authority. And that kind of gets to what the system is about. You know, it's such an insular system. It's so protected. There shouldn't be an uproar that I'm exercising my democratic rights and my First Amendment rights in doing what I'm doing. I shouldn't be called out for trying to make things better. I'm not attacking anyone personally. I'm trying to make the system better.
But you did just call him a six-headed monster.
Well, I just don't know of any other candidate in the country that has to run against six people at once. It's a little unfair. If we were to have a debate, would they get one microphone? Because they share their money. I'd like five other people to get in my pockets.
So Connie tweets in, and you all can tweet as well, at Mark Steiner. Write to us here at talkatsteinershow.org. Call in at 410-319-8888. Please touch on the money, dollars wasted, locking people up. Even drug war advocates don't want taxes.
Absolutely. You can go right to the bail issue for that. Bail basically presumes someone's going to be released. And when you set an excessive bail, which is supposed to ensure that the community stays safe and that the person appears at trial, The person ends up getting stuck in trial and possibly forced into a plea, and their lives are affected. But the cost of keeping them in jail pretrial before any adjudication has been determined, when they're presumed innocent, essentially what it costs to keep someone in jail is about $100 a day. And that's from a Justice Policy Institute study from 2011. $100 a day, because that takes into health care, dental, food costs, and then housing itself. There's pretrial services release, which is essentially like a pretrial probation, where a person can be on the community, in the community, and be monitored, and other conditions can be attached to it. That costs roughly $3 a day. So you do the math, and you come up with about $290,000 per every 30 inmates that are kept in jail pretrial per 30 days.
Which is a lot of people in this town.
It's a lot of people.
So let me go to the phones here as we talk with Todd Oppenheim, a felony trial attorney with the Office of Public Defender, who is in the race for Baltimore City Circuit Judge, the only non-sitting judge in that race at the moment. 410-319-8888 is the number here. Kelvin, you're on the air. Welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Stein.
Good morning.
Is it Mr. Oppenheim?
Oppenheim. Todd Oppenheim.
Close enough.
Yeah, Mr. Oppenheim, since I don't know you, just with your introductory statement, what you said, you got my vote already.
Thank you.
Because that was so honest and to the point. And everything you're saying is relating to experiences I've had, not only in the courts, but with the police and the whole criminal justice system. But I'm not a criminal. I've just been, had some minor problems with police.
As many of us have.
it's status quo for Baltimore,
Right.
I just had a brief question. If you're aware of the difference between a citizen and what a sovereign individual is, and how that relates to how people are treated by all of the established authorities in Maryland and Baltimore. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kelvin.
The answer is yes, though I'm not sure the legality of it. I have never formed the argument myself, but many defendants that come into the courtroom, African-American, feel that they're not subject to the laws of our nation. But I won't say many. The argument is made infrequently. And then the argument extends that they can't be tried, they can't be prosecuted in the courts. And it's a difficult situation because the argument has kind of been perpetuated on the internet and spread around jails. It's an interesting concept. The basis behind it, certainly through oppression, slavery, and the African-American experience, is one that definitely needs to be considered, but I don't know that there's a true legal basis for it.
410-319-8888. Mary, you're on the air. Hi, Mary. Good morning.
Hi, Mary.
Oh, hi. This is Mary, and I'm sorry.
That's right, Mary. Good morning.
There was some other lady named Mary. Good morning, Mark, and to your guest.
Good morning.
I just wanted to chime in reference to this whole, he was talking about the people getting arrested for some sort of minor drugs, and then the police have a right to just take all your money. I was reading some article. I can't remember what magazine I was reading it out of, but in 2015, because of civil forfeiture, the police have now taken more property away from people than burglars. And I know people who get caught up in dragnets because they happen to be standing on a corner waiting for a bus or whatever, and they're just standing there, and they get thrown in the back of a wagon. If they have $200 or $300 on them because they just got paid, they take it from them. And that their electricity gets cut off. They can't buy food. So this is a really big problem, and I hope this gentleman gets elected and does something about it. But I also want to advise you that it's very difficult to do that. The last person I remember running for judge and doing that and upsetting the system and getting elected was Billy Murphy, and I'm sure, Mark, you remember that.
I ran Billy Murphy's campaign for mayor, so yes.
There are certain neighborhoods in the city that you need to visit, you need to talk to people, you need to go into people's living rooms, and you need to explain to them the importance of what you're doing and why you're trying to do it. And if you can get those people on your side, you can get elected. That's what Billy did, and that's what you have to do. And I wish you well, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. So to Mary and to everyone, that's what I want to do. I've been talking to people nonstop Of course, I'm only one person, not six. But, you know, connect with me. Go. I'm at OppenheimForJudge on Twitter. TOForJudge.com. It's a little clumsy, but you click on connect or contact, and you can email me. I'll come out. I'll meet with you. I'll walk the streets with you. You know, I've been all throughout the city in terms of my work. I have to go out and meet my clients. I live in Ender Garden, so I bike around the city. But I visit treatment programs. I've been up to the Penn North treatment program. It's a fantastic facility. There's the kids safe zone that's attached to it. It's all kind of, I mean, Penn North has been there for years, but the development that's kind of come up in that area because of the tragedy with Freddie Gray, it's something that everyone should be a part of. There's going to be an incubator kickoff on MLK Day at 10 a.m. at Penn North. I'll be at that. But I'm, you know, contact me. I'm looking for you, but come and talk to me.
So we'll let you know one more time before we get out of here. 410-319-8888. Doug, line one, you're on the air.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. I just want to congratulate Mr. Oppenheim for choosing to run for an office and to really encourage a dialogue with the candidates who are not accustomed to being asked questions or to explain positions that they take in the courtroom. It's rare that we find somebody, it's really quite refreshing to find somebody who wants to engage in a discussion about policies that result in people losing their freedom if they're defendants, or people who may not feel that they're getting the justice they're entitled if they're crime victims. And I think what Todd brings to this race is an intelligence and awareness of what's actually taking place every day on the front lines in our system. And I, too, would encourage people to promote these debates. I don't even know if the other six candidates would entertain a community forum. But these are the kinds of opportunities we have now to really question and challenge some of the policies that make it very difficult for poor or low-income people, and particularly people of color, from getting a fair shake in our courts.
Doug, thanks. Good to have you call in, and good to the work you do in our community. And let me just read this tweet, and you can come right back. We have a lot of callers. We'd like to be able to get to all of them, unfortunately, next time. At Mark Steiner from Ann Coleman, it bothers me that we get no info about judges in elections. It's left up to those of us with time, ability, knowledge. Thoughts? We have about 2-3 minutes left. We have one more call. We're going to try to get in.
I couldn't agree with what Doug said more. That's exactly what is important here. We have a president, the first in history, the U.S. president that visited a federal prison. We have national debates, both parties, that are talking about mass incarceration and reducing the war on drugs, ending it is what it should be. I've been fighting these issues for years as a public defender, so we have to keep the momentum going. We need change in the system. We can't just stop with superficial, efforts.
Let me try to get another caller in here, if we can, 410-319-8888, and Ann Coleman. We're reaching out to the circuit court judges to ask them if they will participate in conversations on the air with us, with Todd Oppenheim, and we'll also have Todd back to continue discussion if others don't want to come.
Yeah.
410-319.
We might need an extra microphone.
410-319-8888. Marvin, you're on the air.
Mark, I'm a big fan of your radio station. I moved to Baltimore 10 years ago from North New Jersey. I have one question for the candidate and for you. What day is the election date?
April 26th.
Oh, okay. I always thought judges were appointed, not voted in. So this candidate definitely has my vote.
Thank you, sir.
Have a good day and Happy New Year to you and your staff. And
Happy New Year. Thank you. One more thing about what I'm trying to do. My critics, I guess you could say, I haven't met them yet, but I guess they could say that what I'm trying to advocate for, what I want to do as judge is one-sided. It's not. The system is so tilted, it's so slanted, it's so unfair for large segments of our city that when I call for basic fairness, equal justice, it gets misinterpreted like I'm going to go and open the cell doors to the prison. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about giving everyone an equal opportunity in the courtroom, and that's not what I see on a daily basis.
And Todd, I appreciate you being here in the studio with us today. And we have to take a break here. Todd Oppenheim is felony trial attorney in the Office of the Public Defender, seeking to become a next judge in this election in the Baltimore City Circuit Court that takes place April 26th in the primary. Again, your quick contact information?
It is Todd Oppenheim for Circuit Court Judge is the Facebook page. toforjudge.com is the website. And you can follow me at Oppenheim and then the number 4 judge on Twitter. I need your help. I need your support. We could definitely use your donations. Get in touch with me. I will be out there and meet with you. I got all the energy and the vitality in the world.
We're going to take a quick break and come back with a special edition for our city paper. Reminding you on the way to this break, the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. More information at www.mecu.com or steinershow.org is MeQ, Baltimore Credit Union's banner. We'll be right back.